Well, I want to welcome those who are here for the Tuesday noon Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. I happen to just be the facilitator here today. We have a good crowd, a good group of people here who want to dive into the book of Revelation and to get that blessing that is said to be there for those that dive into it. So we are going chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and we are so excited for what Revelation is going to come forth to help us. So we will go through chapter 3, and I will read all the way up to verse 10. Unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou hast liveth and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will be upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that cometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things said he that is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before my feet, to know that I have loved thee. 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come unto all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. 1 through 10. Y'all looking at me. Elder?
Waiting on you.
No, go ahead.
No.
I'm facilitating today. So the facilitator comes and he asks questions. What do you see? And at the end, I'm going to tie everything together. Now, and the reason that this is going to be a good class today is because I know you all have read. There may have been one or two that didn't probably get all of it in. But
I read it, but I didn't understand.
That's okay, but at least you read it.
Yes, I did.
All right. Now I was going to get to Elder, but I will come all the way back here and get to you first. Which part did you did not understand?
I didn't understand nothing.
Okay, you did understand that he's sending a letter to the churches, and he's telling them about areas that's in their lives that need to be changed, upgraded.
So I took it that he was talking to individuals, but he's talking to the church.
Yeah, the angel is to write to the church. It says to the church of Sardis. Okay, so he's talking to the church. And even when you look in here, when he's talking about there's some who have not defiled their clothes, which is a statement that says some has held the faith. They've not fallen down onto the ground. So there's some still upholding the banner, and he's excited about that. And
so when he's talking about the church, is he talking about the leaders of the church or the members of the church?
Both. The whole church. The whole church. See, I want you to look at it. We're talking about churches that this is the formation of ministry. All right. I don't want you to look at it like we look at church today. You had an individual that God would anoint to go into an area to build up a ministry. So they go out, they preach from house to house. They go from place to place. They're moving. There's a lot of it's in transition. And people are coming from word of mouth, or they go out and minister to them on the street. And so what you have there different is there are a lot more people that it's more difficult for them to leave the world aside and move into being Christians. So a lot of them come in. Sometimes you're going to have more weak than you're going to have strong. You got some of the strong people may have to go and help another group that's being formed. So now when somebody strong leaves, then you got a church full of weak folk who are just, you know, they just newly, let's just say they babes in Christ. So they're not maturing because there's a lot of transition going on. And this is what we have to understand. So the letters are being written and it's for our admonition as well, because the church of today is going through the same thing. Solomon says that there's nothing new under the sun. So while we are looking at this from the standpoint of what was going on back then, we have to always look at it not from a rear view of what happened back then, but if the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if there's nothing new under the sun, then a lot of the same challenges that was going on back then is going on today. So this is where we have to look at it to say, are we the church of Sardis? Are we the church of Philadelphia? Where do we fit in? You know, or is there an area like that was weak in Philadelphia that's weak with us? Okay. Everything that you see in the Word of God is a mirror, not only reflecting you, but it's reflecting the future. That's why this word is good for us. It's good for our children. It's good for our grandchildren, because that same word, it's a progressive word. It's going to work in any generation. We all have the same sin, believe it or not. When we come into this world, we come in with it, right? That's why we have to be born again. So when you're looking at it, when he's talking to a church, where is the maturity level of the church? And then he's dealing with it with each one of the churches, because guess what? Each one of the churches got a different defect. Not all of them got the same situation, the same problem.
Right.
Okay. Sir?
As I was saying the last time that I was here, the letters are to the leaders of the churches, because he holds the leaders accountable for what is going on. So if the leaders are allowing certain things to go on, it's for individuals, but it's to the leaders. You're not doing what I have called you to do. In other words, you the leader, what are you allowing to go on? Are you allowing idolatry? Are you allowing adultery? Are you addressing it? When I say allowing, I mean, are you addressing it? Are you being like, whatever happens, happens? Because God is going to hold you accountable. So it's to the leaders of these churches that he's addressing. The angels, the angel of the church is the leadership of the church. Okay. So in this particular letter, Sardis was practicing pagan worship.
And why were they doing that?
Because I think they were trying to mix. I'm not sure if this is the church or not, but one of the churches were practicing, was mixing what was going on in society. They allowed what was going on in society to mix, like it was a mixed thing. And a lot of it is because this is what they always had practiced. And, you know, they still had the statue of Artemis there. And so that was the question. I wasn't there.
Okay, but you said what I want you to say. This is how I started out by saying when the church was in its evolutionary stage, there was, when they got saved, there, sometimes it was hard for them to let go of the things that they had been doing in the midst of now going into the things that they should be doing. Let's say, okay, so you know when you get saved, you know, you have to turn your back on certain things because you can't. Not only your mind got to be renewed, but you got to change friends. You got a whole lot of stuff to change, because if not, you will continue to well, actually not continue. You will gravitate back toward what you had been doing because the draw is so strong. All right, we're talking Hebrews. It said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is." There's something to be said for coming together with other people of like faith to worship. All right. So I do understand in the midst of if God delivered you out of drugs and alcohol, if you truly get delivered, that you can, as the Lord inspires you and the Spirit motivates you for you to minister to other people that have had the same situation. But that does not mean that you can just go hang around and start palling around and sitting around at the table where they doing drugs, because eventually you might get caught back up. So you have to be wise in what you're doing. So as he was sharing about the letter going to the leadership, this book is for everybody. Of course it's to the leader, but again, those that have the responsibility to teach, those that have the responsibility to pastor, those that have that responsibility to admonish and deal with the congregation, as maybe a lay leader or whatever, you can say an assistant pastor or whatever, everybody has a responsibility. I was looking at our pastor's little note up there, "Are we our brother's keeper?" And he says, and I was just reading a couple of things about that. But if we are to be in fellowship together and one does seem to be doing something amiss, then we have the right to say, "Can I pray with you about it?" We don't have the right to come and start making accusations, but for sure we can pray and try to help and believe God for them to get back on the right track.
Well, what I got from Sardis was they were given the word, but like Elder said, they were kind of swaying back to old doctrine and teachings, mixing it in with the word. And when the Lord, and they were well off. They seemed to be rich or whatever and prosperous. And so they were allowing that to cause them to be lax in doing what God had called them to do. And I could see us as a body, when we begin to prosper, sometimes we get lax in doing what God has called us to do.
Now, I'm going to go back and deal with that, but let me throw out another. I'm going to throw out another nugget right quick. All right. When you have faith, all right, what is it that strengthens your faith?
Fellowship, worship.
Fellowship, worship.
Study.
studying. That he works. Somebody said, okay, as you do things and God shows accomplishment through walking by faith, your faith gets built up. If you don't do that, then you go back to doing what you have been doing. It's like there's no standing still in God. All right? You can't say, well, okay, I'm not going to go to church for a month and I'm going to be all right. I'm just going to stay home and read my Bible. A month later, you are not going to be where you need to be. I'm just here to tell you, because while you were not moving forward, the world was moving forward. Everything else is moving forward, but your Christian walk is not moving forward. So eventually, you will start to do some of the other things, not necessarily bad, but not helping out the situation, because you're going back to what you know to do. So here you have a church that like she said, was prosperous. And if God isn't moving fast enough, you tend to rely on what you've been relying on if your faith is not strong enough to carry you forward. Now, I know a few people that got some money, and sometimes they act as if, why do I need to do a certain thing? Because I'm affluent. I don't necessarily have to do that. But that's when you need to do it, because now you're depending on your affluency and not depending on God. So that's, I just wanted to add that into it. You want to?
Okay. And one of the Rose was saying, and as you were just saying, they acted as if they had it together.
Mm-hmm.
But God, because he's judging motive and all the things that's in your heart, so you say you are alive, but you are actually dead. In other words, they were not sensitive to what God was wanting them to do. Okay, let me just read this right here, because this is kind of serious. They say the church of Sardis evidently had a reputation among the churches in the area and was considered a spiritual church and one that had an effective ministry and testimony for God. From this divine standpoint, however, it is considered as a church that had only a name of being alive and actually was dead as far as spiritual life and power were concerned. The searching judgment of Christ as it relates to the Church of Sardis is one to be pondered by the modern church, which often is full, this is a big indictment, which often is full of activity, even though there is little that speaks of Christ and spiritual life and power. Just one more thing.
Go ahead.
It is in danger of death when it begins to worship its own past, when it is more concerned with forms than with life, when it loves systems more than it loves Jesus Christ, when it is more concerned with material than spiritual things. And the warning was that he wanted them to be watchful.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because if you're not watchful, you're not going to be sensitive and you're going to get caught unaware. That's why the thief can come, because you're not paying attention to what God wants you to pay attention to, so you're not aware. That's all I have.
Is this Christian walk an easy walk?
No.
Can I get a consensus on that?
No.
When the scripture says we need to watch and what?
Pray.
Watch and pray. So if you're looking and you're praying, then you got two sets of eyes. You got your spiritual eyes open and then you got your physical eyes open. All right. So anytime you get lulled to sleep by thinking that you got it, then you can end up closing one eye. And then you're not getting a whole lot of light in from the other eye, which is that spiritual eye. So as I the look at it from, you know, I always like to throw in another perspective. I like for everybody to do it. I look at the commentaries and everything, and I like to look at it from today's perspective. How can I relate this to the church today? All right. It says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. What things could be ready to die?
You.
Flesh.
You.
You say you?
Flesh.
Your flesh?
Yeah.
You say your flesh is ready to die? Can I throw a boomerang in here?
Yeah.
Fruit. Your fruit is ready to die. That you have been working on is not being perfected anymore. You started out, and you started out good. You were witnessing. You were talking to folk. All right. You were praying for people. You were laying hands. You know, you had scriptures for everybody. And now you're not doing that. You know, you done fell back a little bit. It's not as enjoyable to do the things that you have been doing when you first got excited about it. Okay? So I want to, it says those works are not perfect or have come to maturity before me. When you look at that word perfect, I want you to think about being mature or has ripened. Okay? So we all got a work to do, right? And so if you slack back on the work that you do, not only are you not producing fruit, but that you should have been doing and that you were doing, you're not doing that anymore. All right? It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. This is what I'm talking about.
Comment. The danger is if you're looking at things from the natural, we have in church. But that's not pleasing unto God, because He knows you ain't really interested in doing what He wants you to do. It's a facade. He said, you think you're alive, you think you got it going. He said, but you are really dead. Because like I think it was Rose who said, you're doing things like you used to do.
Okay.
But you're not discerning, people will think, man, they got it going over there. Because they're still having activities, they're still having church functions.
Functions.
But they're not, it's a form. Like Paul was saying, denying
the power
they're in. Because you're just like a form of godliness. It's not really true, and Jesus is looking right through that.
I want to share a testimony right quick. Last Saturday, the food pantry, Fountain of Hope, was giving out food. One of the guys that were ministering, when he got through ministering, he came over and talked to me. And he was sharing some things with me. And he said something that was profound. He said, you know, for a while, I was asking God about what is the next thing that I needed to do to win more souls. All right. He was saying, I want to do this ministry. I'm thinking about doing that ministry. He was all excited about doing ministry. And he said, the Lord tapped him on the shoulder and said, how about spending some time with me? Because I want a relationship with you. Because when you attach to me, you will automatically bring forth fruit. So sometimes, like we're talking about, you can be doing things and you can be so excited about having programs and you can be counting how many folk gonna come and you all excited about that, and you have not spent time with Jesus, not spent time with the Spirit to get His heart, because guess what? He's the one that's gonna bring the people. He's the one that's going to make the grace abound so that the miracles can happen. If God's not there, what miracle is going to happen? If the Spirit of God is not moving, what life is going to be changed? People are drawn to God through His power. Didn't we read that in there? Nobody comes to the Father except they are drawn. Drawn. Who draws them?
The
Holy Spirit drawn. So if you're not spending time with the Father, how are you functioning? You going through the motions of what your head is thinking about. And you figured out all of these programs. You done passed out flyers. You done all of this. But has your prayer been, Lord, of the harvest? Right? We are yet your laborers going in. Empower us to bring in this harvest. But if all you concerned about is the harvest and you not spending time with the Lord of the harvest, then the few people that come in and you stick your chest out, God is saying you could have got a whole lot more if you'd allow me to be a part of it.
There's an old saying that some people are working for God, but they're not working with God. In other words, they're doing what appears to be godly activity, but it's not being ordained by God to do that.
All right. So I want us to look at this all the way around. Right? Look how much we drew out of that. The next part in 6, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church is. Did you notice it had an S on there?
Yeah.
Every church need to understand that God is the source. All right. When it gets down here to 8, and it says, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hath kept my word, and has not denied my name. I'm going to park right here and just have a good time if y'all don't mind. All right. If God is for you, who can be against you? If you got a relationship with God and you moving in his power and anointing, he has already opened up a door for you. Has he not? He's ordained you to walk in it. You didn't ask to be born, right? You didn't even know about being saved until the word drew you in. Right? So now you saved, God and already put in everything he needed. And so he got the door open for you. All it takes is your faith and being connected with him through prayer. Right? Mm-hmm. Huh? And love and faith. And then he gives you the grace to go in because he's opened that door and can't no man shut it. So if God tell you to do something, go ahead on and do it. Why you worry about whether this one ain't going to agree with it or this one says you're not going to be able to do it? Well, this one said that they've done that 10 times over in that area and nothing has happened. Guess what? They were 10 times out of the will of God. Or some plant, some water, and it's your turn, number 11, to go in and get the harvest. Right? But will you believe God for that? So let him that have an ear hear. Because guess what? God can open a door and can't no man shut it. And guess what? When God says over, it's over. You can be clamming at the door, get a crowbar or whatever it is. When it's time for you to move on, guess what? You can be wearing that door out. You can't get it open. Because guess what? God got another door. You at the wrong door. So again, if you're not prayed up, if you're not steadfast, if you have not grown, and let's look at what he said here. If you don't have a little strength, he didn't say you had to have a lot.
Right.
I got excited. I said, Lord, I got a little bit. I got just enough. Yeah. Right? He gives us a measure of faith, right? Yeah. So we got everything we need. And it looks here, it says it has a little strength, and that little strength did what? Help him to keep that word and not defile his name. So even if we just got a little bit of strength, we won't turn away from God.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most interesting points is that he is given the letter to the messenger or the angel,
mm-hmm.
but he's still going to judge each of us individually. In other words, everybody in a corrupt church might not be corrupt. It's the ones that are corrupt that's going to face his divine judgment. So it's never everybody. Everybody ain't doing what's right, and everybody ain't doing what's wrong. So it's still addressed, as Estelle was saying, is it to the church or is it to individuals? It's to both, because just because the church is getting commended. If you ain't doing what's right, you're not getting commended.
You're not getting commended.
So
he said that point blank.
Yeah. So don't.
He said, "There's a few of y'all that did good, and guess what? You gonna end up dressed in white."
Yes.
Ooh. Huh? So that means that what? Every member in the body has really got to be plugged up to the vine.
Right.
You got to be attached to the vine.
Right.
Back in the old days, I preached in the patch, but not on the vine. You know, we just cause you go to church, right? That don't necessarily mean you a Christian.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people that's going to church every Sunday, but they're not going to connect with God. They're going to do their Christian duty, and they're showing up. And guess what? They're showing out.
And then I'm a true vine.
Oh, see, but
and my father,
uh-huh.
He's the other man.
Well, listen, I'm glad he can preach for me. because guess what? If he said he was the true vine, then there's another vine out there.
Yeah.
Huh? Why would he make the distinction to say I'm the true vine? Right? So that means that there's another vine out there. So now you need to take a look at who you attach to. Huh? Now, if who you attach to is not bringing light, revelation, truth, grace, power, huh? You know, you could be attached to negativity. I know a lot of folk, everything come out their mouth is I don't believe this and I don't believe that, and why y'all doing this and why y'all doing that, and we don't do this over here and we don't do that over there. And I'm like, but what does the Bible say? Well, that ain't what we teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm wondering what vine that is. Mm-hmm. I just threw that in there.
I got a final comment.
No. That ain't your final comment.
Stop correcting that. Just let me say that. But I always have told people that, okay, and this is jumping ahead. You read where the Church of Philadelphia didn't have any faults as far as what God was saying. But there's no such thing as corporate salvation. Mm. It's individual salvation. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people think, and this happens to these churches that have a lot of affluence, you know, they find out, oh, they get blessed over there. So you go running over there.
Right.
And you don't get nothing. And you wonder, what's going on? Why ain't being blessed? And you hear about all the testimonies about people being blessed and all of that. But God is doing this on an individual, no corporate salvation. And you may get a blessing, but it wasn't because you were there where people were getting blessed. It's because God is blessing you because he wants you to have a testimony. But no corporate. The main thing I wanted to say was, no corporate salvation, like I was saying.
Uh-huh.
Just because you in a church where they getting commended, like you said earlier, you ain't getting commended.
Right. If you're not done anything, you.
Right.
Everybody that's in the church is not gonna get the ring at the end.
Right.
Just because you in the church. Mm-hmm. Now on in the world, if you on the team and the team win, everybody get a ring.
Right.
Huh? Everybody get a ring.
Yep.
All the way down to the water boy. Everybody get a ring. Seriously. If you on the payroll, everybody get a ring.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Oh, everybody get a ring.
She don't follow
sports. Oh, you don't follow sports.
Don't.
Everybody get a ring.
I didn't know the water boy got a ring.
Now, when I said water boy, you got to understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
We talking literally. About a trainer.
Not literally.
Oh, okay. I got you.
The trainer, because the trainer carries water too.
Oh, okay.
It's a team effort.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So,
what jumped out at me with Philadelphia is when the Lord told them, I know all the things you do. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus.
That got you? If he know how many numbers of hairs on your head, you don't think he know? If he say you gonna be judged for every idle word that come out your mouth, and you just got stuck.
I mean, it just was another, you know, reminder.
So, another when reminder. He said that, did you stop and say, Lord, I'm repenting right now?
Hey, but now listen, if you go back, I'm glad y'all having fun, because I do all the time when I look at this, because I have to remember that there are some things that remain constant,
yes,
that can't change. And he said it right here. He said, you got to repent. And what was that thing? He said, you got to. It was two things you do. Something. Oh, yeah. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received. Number one, they heard it. I mean, they received it. And then they heard it. Then they held fast to what they heard. And then they repented. Because if you hear it, receive it, and hold fast to it, if it's not lining up with where you are, what do? You repent to get lined back up, right?
Yes.
Because in this life and journey that we travel, you will be doing some repenting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think we should be repenting every day.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at a 24-hour period, mm-hmm, I guarantee you are not going to do all that God have for you to do in a 24-hour period. You don't even have a mindset to do it all.
Yeah.
No, seriously, you don't. That's why the Lord says, seek me early while I might be found. If yeah. you start off early with God, God can lay out some things that yeah. you can achieve. Yeah. Right? If you seek him early, he can say, I need you to do A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. See, when I wake up and try to hear from him, I need a pencil and pad. Because this man I got right here, I don't remember. I have all kind of stuff that he talked to me about, and later on in the day, I can't remember none of that stuff. But I can when I go around and write it. That's why I'm kind of feeling some kind of way about not having my mini iPad. Because I got all kind of stuff in there. But you know, I do believe that the Holy Ghost can bring back to my remembrance those things that the Lord has said. And they'll come back in the correct time. All right. Portia, you got anything? I get wondering. I don't see Portia looking at me. If she look at me, I'll be missing something. All right. Nine. Now, I know y'all going to get y'all. I know somebody want to talk about nine. Nine, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. And behold, I will make them to come and worship before my feet and to know that I have loved thee. Comment.
So you're going to have people come in and say this, but they're not really that.
Ah, okay. All right. I go to Cross Culture Church. I go to the greatest church that there is.
But the thing of watch your food.
He said, you better be watching my fruit, because I go to the greatest church there is.
The people going to watch what you do.
Oh, so the people going to be watching, plus the Lord watching too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me turn the corner. Let me go to the right a little bit. All right. If your church is not plugged into the true vine, what vine is it plugged into?
The vine of Satan.
To the vine of Satan. So there's a lot of people that's having quote unquote church, but it's not according to God's church. All right. And it says, which they say that they're Jews, which means they say we got a connection with God. We can trace our lineage all the way back. We part of this sect. We part of that sect. We better than y'all because we've been passed down this thing. If you don't even like that part, we don't do this and we don't do that. And we do this and y'all don't do that. Right? And then you get down to it and then it says, and so you say you one way, but you not. Because if we really look at your heart, you got something against everybody else, and that's not God, right? Is God a God of love?
Yes.
And he encompasses everybody,
amen,
right? Yes. So you can't say you better than somebody else and looking down on somebody else and got the Spirit of God in your life. It's just those two things just don't work. And then he says, but you lie. Mm-hmm. Now if you looked at it like I looked at it, it's when it talks about lying, that means you are denying the truth. Right? So you are denying what God is saying and going along with what you say. You said, well, it doesn't take all of that. That's a lie, because God said it take all of that and some. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
God, didn't God say it's not by works?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So if you're telling me that it's going to take works for me to get into the kingdom, are you telling me the truth or are you telling me a lie?
It's a lie.
Because you can't work your way in.
Right.
It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? So I want you to look at it from that perspective. You're wearing a badge, right? And the badge supposedly gives you some authority, but you denying the power of the badge. And you're saying falsehoods, but not the truth. So it says, you're doing all of that, but guess what? You're going to have to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because all that you talk is going to fall to the ground, and all that you've been saying, if it's a lie, it won't stand. Only the truth will stand. God said, not one word going to pass away. Not one. Every T is going to be crossed and every I going to get dotted. So all that a whole lot of folks been saying that they got all this and got all that going to fall to the ground. I am a witness, because I know some people who have said all they got to do is lay their hands on it. All they got to do is pray about it and it's going to automatically happen. I said, that is not what the Bible says. It says if you got the wrong motive, I don't care how many hands you lay on it. I don't care how much you pray over it. If there's somebody else's wife out there and you look at her and think she would make you a better wife, and you go lay your hands, pray, throw oil, water, I don't care what you do. She already married to somebody. God not finna honor that. So is that the right kind of faith or the wrong kind of faith?
Wrong. That ain't no faith.
He said there's no faith. but again, you can take things and take them all out of context.
Right.
And say, well, the scripture said this. Yeah, but then it also said if you're going to consume it upon your own lust, God is not obligated to give that to you.
Right.
And not only that, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you needed would be what? Added unto you.
Right.
So all of this going out here laying and believing and going by and putting the soles of your feet shall tread upon, going to be yours, and you on somebody else's property, talking about that's the devil's and the Lord going to turn it over to you. You better read the scripture. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. She said it in the commandments. It said, don't be coveting other folks' stuff. Now, I didn't mean for all that to go like that, but I want you to, and I have endeavored for the whole time I've been here to have you to look at it in more than one perspective. Take the whole picture of what's going on. You're looking at it in the past, but it's a projection of what's going to happen in the future. Solomon, which was a wise man, told y'all it's all vanity. So don't get caught up in it. Don't let folk deceive you in what you can have and all of this kind of stuff. God going to give you what you need. Paul says, I got to learn how to be abound and to be abased. I got to know that every day I'm not going to have steak. Oh, you don't like steak? Every day you're not going to have salmon.
It wouldn't be healthy.
It should go with the natural.
Yeah. So, I mean, if your favorite thing is salmon, you're not going to have salmon every day.
Not going to have chicken.
Not going to have chicken every day. So we are to be thankful with what the Lord has given us. And when we are faithful in a little, then he can allow us to be faithful over much. All right. I know that's a lot out of 9 verses. And 10, it said, because thou have kept the word of my patience. Oh, I need some. I know y'all patient. Y'all can wait. Y'all been holding out and held fast to the end. But sometimes I get impatient. I love this. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. That let me know right then, my impatience is going to bring forth some temptation. And what might I be tempted to do?
Step out on your own.
Step out on my own. Make some moves before it's time. And lean to your own understanding. One of my favorite ones is you can be looking through the oven door at that cake, but you don't need to open it up to check it out. Huh?
Yeah.
Let me see if it's done yet. It looked like it's about ready. And you open that door. Boom. But I did everything I was supposed to do. I was looking through the glass and it looked like it was brown and it looking like everything would come right. All I wanted to do was just to put my natural eyes on it. That's not us. I'm just saying in life sometimes when we are impatient, we make wrong moves. He says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which might come upon all the earth.
That will come.
Huh?
He said will come.
Will? It's not might.
Oh, it ain't might.
It ain't might come?
No.
So that means you're not going to get away? Will come upon all the earth and to do what?
Test.
To test, to try, to see if it'll happen. We got the 10 verses. I want to know what y'all think about them. Is there a blessing out of just those 10?
Yes. We would eat that. Meditate on what we have heard today and then adhere to what we have heard and learn from others' mistakes, it'll be beneficial.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Just for me, the word to receive it, to hold fast to it when it comes, and then to repent. Because I guarantee you, the longer you hold on to it, the brighter the light get and show you where your mistakes are.
Amen.
Because the word it said, let it be a lamp unto my feet and what? A light. So if it's a light and you holding on to it, the more you hold on to it, the more it's going to reveal and show some things. And so when the light, it gets really bright and it shows some things, repent. Repent. Because that's what, and I'm done, but when we stand before the Lord, that light gonna be so bright, boy, there won't be nothing here. Oh my God. And you know, in the old days, they said, they be talking, don't go into the light, you might as well go on into it. You might as well go into the light.
So I do repent, I have to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
If you don't repent, you're gonna repeat.
And a lesson not learned will be repeated. And let me help you. You don't get the same test. Oh yeah, that next test is a hard test. It's a hard one, boy. I tell you. Anyway. Bobby, I have not heard a word from you today.
I have totally enjoyed your lecture.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
Because I know Bobby be jumping in there, boy. We got a handout.
What about the people I was brought up in the church?
Okay.
Because I was brought up in the church.
Uh-huh.
When people come knocking on my door and they tell me certain things, I know it's not fact.
Uh-huh.
But what about the people that don't know? you know, when people come knocking on your door and they profess to be this and they're not telling you the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
And but you believe them, so you're being brought up not knowing what the real truth is. What about those people?
Because guess what? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all them and they that dwell within. So we have to worry about whatever size feet we got and believe that God gonna take care of everybody else's size foot that they got. Because revelation doesn't all come at the same time. All right. Some people get revelation at the very last hour. Since you did that stuff just popping up right now, the parable said the Lord came out into the street and he started calling people to ask them if they wanted to work. And he got down all the way till it was just the last few minutes and said, will you come and work for me for so much? And some folks jumped in at the last minute and said, yeah. And they got employed. In other words, they got a reward for just that little bit that they did. Now,
the people who had came earlier got paid.
They got paid the same thing, which to me is salvation is salvation. Now, what I like about it is some people are really going to be able to enjoy their money or their pay or their salvation versus those who wait till the last minute. Okay, because while those that were working, they were enjoying their labors to get what they got. The one at the last minute, look how much time he had been without money. Look how much they had gone through without being employed. And they did get some employment at the end. So even if they got joy for 10 minutes, it was more joy than they had in their whole entire lifetime. So the answer to your question is God is going to have an opportunity to allow them truth. Now, can I back it back again? When Christ died on the cross and he was buried, where did he go? And what did he do down there? Who was he preaching to? So now guess what? If he went back and dealt with the ones who had not had a chance, don't you think he gonna give them an opportunity that are knocking on the door that don't know? He gonna give them an opportunity as well.
Yes.
But
so did they stay there when he went to heaven?
Oh. We don't have enough time to deal with that. We're good. Just know that they heard, because He held captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men, and so we gonna move. I think y'all we done got to 15 minutes past time.
That's what time we started.
Okay, so we got the hour in. Yeah. We got some envelopes for those that wanna give, and we got a handout. Portia has been so gracious. Have y'all been enjoying those handouts? Yeah, that's you. She's really, really blessing us. Now, I say this all the time. I hope y'all know why I say this. You all are really being prepared to do something for the Lord. Now, y'all think, you know, just because we seniors and we coming here, God got something for you to do. It ain't over. I don't go anywhere by accident. And so I'm believing that there's something going to happen good for all of us to where we're going to be able to make a difference. And it ain't over till it's over. And until I close my eyes, I'm going to try to preach, teach, or do something with what I'm giving.
Amen.
All the way down to the
Amen.
End. So everybody that's in here, know people that I don't know, share with them the good news. Whatever is a revelation to you,
Amen.
Share it. Because guess what? God gives seed to the sower. And what is the seed that he give you? His word.
Oh, no problem. That's good.
His word. All right? If all hearts and minds are clear, because I'm going to have to put this little thing down. I feel like preaching, but I done had a good time so far already.
Praise God.
Father, as we leave this place, we are not from your presence. We thank you, Lord God, that this word that you share with us will burn in, and the enemy will not be able to come in and pluck it out. And Lord, you're going to continue to reveal things to us through this book of Revelation. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, we ask that you encamp your angels round about us to protect us as we go to our next destination. Bring clarity about what we hear and clarity in what we see, especially around your word. Bless our families, bless our children, grandchildren, and even bless our enemies. And Lord, if we have a chance to minister to one and can turn them from darkness to the light, you will get all of the glory, and we'll give it to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.